Okay, so the title is Business Meetings in Non-Kosher Restaurants. And the reality of the world is that many work in the outside world with finance, whatever it is, whatever company you type of work here for, it's a realistic issue that comes up. You know, what do you do when you have a business meeting? So we'll start and see how far we can get today, time permitting. The first place to start is a Mishnah in Shkalim. So Shkalim were donations given to the Beis Hamikdash, and the Mishnah provides categories for what one can wear when going into the money room. So B'shlosh HaKupa Shel Shlosh Shlosh Soin Tormin Es Halishka V'Kosev Hem Aleph Beis Gimel. Okay, they were labeled Rav Yishmael Oimer Yevonis Kosev. They were not written in Hebrew letters. They were labeled with Greek letters Alpha Beis Gamla. Okay, sounds like a fraternity a little bit. Ve'einu hatorim nichnas lo be'pargon chafus. He couldn't have cuffed pants, like with a hem on it, because you could take some money and put it in there, and no one's going to know. Ve'lo b'no, not with a belt. Ve'lo b'sandal, not with the sandals. Ve'lo b'tefillin, you could have your tefillin. Ve'lo b'kamiya, like a kamiya is a jewelry you'd wear around your neck. Shema ye'ani, maybe because after you came out, okay, a little down the line, the guy's going to become an ani. The Omerum, people are going to say, "Me Avon Lishka, he became poor because he stole. The guy stole because he's getting punished from Hashem. So you can't wear any of these clothing, so people think you stole. Oh, Shemi Ashi, you can't win. Maybe you're going to get rich afterwards, and they're going to talk about you for that. Me Trumas Alishka Heshir, he became rich because he took out his money from the base of Migdash. Lefish Adam Tzorech, and here's the key point. Let's say Yidei Habrios, Kederech Shetzorech, let's say Yidei Hamakom. You have to be above all suspicion. Above all suspicion. Now, this is talking about a person going into the base of Migdash, and whichever way he does, if he gets poor, they're going to talk about him. If he gets rich, they're going to talk about him. You can't win. You put yourself in a situation which is a lose-lose situation. Why? You know, Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Va'isim nakiim Hashem Yisrael." You have to be naki, clean, above any doubts in the eyes of Hashem and in the Jewish people. To find favor in people's eyes. So the first issue and the major issue about going into a non-kosher restaurant is marasayin. It looks like you're doing something wrong. Now, it's important to point out, marasayin is different than other things. You really technically are not doing anything wrong. You're not. Nevertheless, it's prohibited because of marasayin. It's perceived as an isser. An example like this, they have these types of Shabbos lipsticks that a woman can put on before Shabbos starts, and it lasts 24 hours. So normal lipstick does not last 24 hours. At least that's what they tell me. I don't think I've worn lipstick in the last 2 weeks. But my sources tell me that normal lipstick will not last 24 hours. So here, a woman puts on the Shabbos stick lipstick, and she comes to shul Shabbos morning. It looks like it's fresh lipstick. But she says, "Oh, wow, I guess you're allowed to put lipstick on Shabbos, because here's a woman in shul with, lipstick." So that's a marasayin issue, right? That it could look like doing something wrong. Is there anything wrong with putting on lipstick beforehand? Okay, not. But that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is this, again, they'll think the person did something wrong. She put on lipstick in the morning, even though she didn't. But the second aspect is that people will learn from that behavior. They'll see someone lipstick. They'll see somebody, in our case, going into a non-kosher restaurant. So they'll think, oh, must be that's a kosher restaurant. Now, if it's any franchise, so that might be a little different, because no one's really going to think that Taco Bell or Burger King is really in America is a kosher restaurant. What if you go to some mom and pop shop, some like a sandwich shop or something like that? It's not a franchise. It doesn't have a Shane Dove that everybody knows this is non-kosher. You go into Tony's Pizza. So maybe it's Tony's Pizza. Maybe really it's not Tony's Pizza. It's Tomer's Pizza. Whatever. I don't know. Make it up a little bit.
Tony Cohen.
Tony Cohen. Right. Yeah. Okay. But so you could have a concern for that. So one aspect we'll see of marasayin going to a non-kosher restaurant is that people might think you're doing something wrong. And the other aspect is that people would actually learn from them.
And also going to like a Dunkin' Donuts.
A Dunkin' Donuts in Achinami.
There are a lot of Dunkin' Donuts that are under Hashkacha.
Correct.
The one that's not, people will probably assume that you're doing something wrong. Rather, that Dunkin' Donuts is one of the kosher
ones. Is one of the kosher ones, correct. Yes, 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 yes. Or you even have, like, there's on the Staten Island, they have, like, the Dunkin' Donuts in the gas station, right? So that people don't know, they see you walking in, they don't know whether you're going to get gas, you're going to buy a bottle of Snapple or something like that, or you're going to get
one's kosher.
That one's kosher?
The one up the hill by Willowbrook? Yeah.
No, the one right off Outer Bridge, when you're going to the Outer Bridge.
No, not
that was not kosher. Yeah, I don't think so. Okay.
No. The one by Willowbrook.
If you go into the
7-Eleven Slurpees. Right, so that's fine. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, but why is that?
There's enough in stores. At least I don't know what the store you're talking about. There's enough in a store that's kosher.
Correct. That's
going to
be.
I'm going to a supermarket and buy something that I can buy pork. You know.
So 7-Eleven is considered a supermarket and not a restaurant.
It will see that. We'll see that it has kosher food available, so people aren't necessarily going to think. I don't think anybody thinks that if you're going into a 7-Eleven, you're going to buy those, like, you know, plastic hot dog, cheeseburger, nacho, jalapeno sandwiches. I think they think, you know, getting a Slurpee for your kid. Okay. But let's go on next. Number Rashi, source number two, tells us that kol makom she'osur chacham mipnei aris mipnei maris ayin afilu b'chadrei chedorim osur. Even do it privately. If Chazal say you cannot do this action because of maris ayin, it doesn't matter within my privacy of my own home, it's still prohibited. It's an isser to do such an action regardless of whether people are watching it. Regardless, you think, oh, you know, in this case, people are watching me, so I'm not going to do it. Okay, but when I'm all by myself, I'm away on vacation, I'll do something. No one knows me, no one sees anything. Nevertheless, it's still osur to do this, points out Rashi. The next source is talking about different things on this, because Rashi says shlo yachshiruhu le'iser. They'll think that you're doing something wrong, like, you know, if you're leading your animal on Shabbos, they might think you're coming to sell it in the marketplace, things like that. So we have to understand that what would be possible heterim for going into a non-kosher restaurant to have the business meeting. So the first thing is the pre-chodesh. The pre-chodesh has I bolded a few of the key lines. The pre-chodesh has a very big kula. He says, you know what maris ayin applies to? Get this. Only situations that were around in the time that the Gemara was written. Only directly things that are mentioned in Shas. But anything that comes post-Talmud, post-Ravina Ravashi, is not included in the Isser of maris ayin. So that would mean electric shavers? No problem. Electric shavers weren't around. Restaurants? No problem. Restaurants weren't around in the time. They had an inn, but they didn't have like restaurants like we have nowadays. You know, kosher LePesach pizza? No problem. Pepperoni, synthetic pepperoni, whatever? No problem. It wasn't around. I'm not sure it should be around now anyways, but okay, but anyway. Here we go. Vili Nira says the Pre-Chodesh in source 4. Iker Kedivri HaHago. Okay, he's quoting a whole machloik. We're going to get to a Ramah in a minute, but he says that he holds like that. Lahakya the afmasha also harashba levashel bosu becholov isha. Now, cholov isha is a woman's milk. That, technically speaking, is parv. Milk from a cow is milchig, dairy. Milk from a woman is parv. So that's a huge maris ayin issue, because no one knows. They see a baby's bottle or something. A woman expressed the milk into a bottle. And now a person comes along and says, you know, I'm really hungry. I'm not advocating, but I'm at a barbecue and I'm having my hot dog, I'm having my hamburgers, I'm having my sliders. You know what? I could really use some chalav isha right about now. It's parv, but no. Mipnei maris ayin. People don't realize that this is a woman's milk. Hu chiddish. Lahosif Allah she'ain lanu ligzor. This is it. She'ain lanu ligzor. We don't make extra gzeiras. La'osimi datenu from our own thoughts, our own mind. Mipnei maris ayin zulosi b'mashin is ba'ir b'talmud. Only things that are mentioned in the Talmud is what's osir, and everything else is not under the category of maris ayin. So if we stopped here, that'd be a tremendous chiddush. Everything's good, because nowadays, you know, we're living in a different reality. Society is different, inventions are different, and it wasn't mentioned Shas, okay. Yeah, not a problem. Actually, I'm just thinking, I think Rav Yaakov Breish has a tshuva and talking about musical instruments, that Chazal ossered musical instruments, and he also has such a similar thing. He says they only ossered the types of musical instruments that were around during the time of the Gezerah, but they didn't, you know, the radio, there wasn't a radio around, I don't think a saxophone was invented yet, whatever it was, any of those instruments don't fall into the prohibition, so those things are mutter. But here's a similar idea. We don't rely upon this. Lamaisa, we don't rely upon this, but I'm going to show you. We do not rely upon this as on its own. We'll throw in a few other, perhaps a sniff to be other additional points we could combine to get a kula, but on its own, this pre-chadash, it's basically rejected by the majority of Achronim. The next one we have, so now we'll see the Shulchan Aruch. This is what he was referring to. This is talking, a lot of this comes up at the beginning of Hilchos Basar B'chalav, because let's just review, only basar, meat from a kosher animal, and milk from a kosher animal is included in the Torah prohibition of that. Everything else that we do is like chicken and milk and other things like that. That's all on a derabbanan level. So it says, Ein Nohig, source 5, El Babasa Behema Tahora, Bechalav Behema Tahora. The real prohibition on Torah level is kosher meat, beef, not even chicken, kosher beef, and kosher milk. Avabasa Tahora Bechalav Tameh, but if you have kosher meat and milk from a non-kosher animal, like pig milk or something like that. Oh, basar tamei, like meat that's non-kosher, b'chalav tahor, but milk from a cow, mutarim lebishul v'hanah. You're allowed to cook it together and you're allowed to get hanah from it. One second. Basar chayav v'of, and meat from birds and from... not a behemoth. Afil bechalav tahara, even when in kosher milk, muta bebishel. Okay, you're allowed to cook it together. V'hanah, and you're allowed to get benefit. Af bechila, eino oser, elamid rabbanan. So these are all prohibited, but not on a deraisa level. It's only prohibited on a derabbanan level. Aval dagim vechagavim, but fish and grasshoppers, ein bahem iser, afil mid rabbanan. So again, we have the deraisa prohibition, kosher meat, kosher milk. The derabbanan prohibition of non-kosher milk, non-kosher meat. And then some things are totally mutter. You're allowed to have fish, right? This even derabbanan's fine. So as the hagal comes, the derabbanan says, v'nohagu, the minig is lasos chalav mishkedim, almond milk. The minig is to make almond milk, umanichim bo basar of, and to have with it, hoyo v'enu rak midurabbanan. You could eat milk, almond milk with chicken. Ooh, of a boser behema, but to have real beef with that yesh lanich etzel hachalav shkedim. You should place it on the table so they realize this is not real milk. Mishum maris ayin, you're not doing anything wrong, but you put on them. So this is, it used to be, in fancy schmancy restaurants, if you were to order a fleishig restaurant, then when they would bring you your creamer afterwards, they would put the actual bottle, the container, they'd bring it on the table. They would bring the soy milk, they would bring it to the table to show you that they would bring the parva, the wrapper for the parva margarine, because people they didn't know these things, and it looked like marasayan. But, so this second, quote-unquote, heter will add on, there is a source that says maris ayin does not apply to anything that's deraisa, right? I'm sorry, I said backwards. Yeah, it only applies to something that's maris ayin does not apply to derabon, it only applies to deraisa. Yeah, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. So the first heter we have from the pre-chadosh is only things that are mentioned in shas. The second heter is that's only on the deraisa level, but on a derabonon, we wouldn't have a problem with maris ayin. Okay? But the Shach and the Taz both argue on this, but it's on the book. So again, so the first two heterim we have by their own are not going to be enough to permit anything like this. The third heter we'll have, if you look in the Shach, let's see where we could find this. You know, I'm going to skip the...
The Syrians, all starting with the Syrians, don't do fish and milk either.
Correct. There's two sheikhs in the Beis Yosef. It's a Rachmanis. They don't have lox and cream cheese and lox. They won't have it. So, but it's not all Syrians. There's different Syrians. There's two different Syrian traditions. But
Canaanites also don't.
Tamanites don't. What?
They don't have lox by themselves.
They have lox.
How about lox and tofutti?
So that would be that's parv. Yeah, that's not real.
No, the other way right. Lox and
Tofutti is not dairy.
It's soy.
Yeah, soy is not the.
It's not a
marzai. No. Now here's gonna be the heter. Here's gonna be the big heter. Let's just look at the background to this. We know that the iser of shatnez is wool and linen, right? Mm. What about silk? Is there any prohibition of using silk and linen? So most people, the Rosh, it's a fascinating truth from the Rosh. The Rosh lived in the 1300s. I think he passed away in 1337 or so. In 1305, he had the flea. He has a fascinating biography. He was one of the Gedolim in Europe. And because of the pogroms, the Crusades, he had to flee for his life. His chavrus was the Mordechai, who was murdered. His Rebbe was Rebbe Rotenberg, who was basically captured and ended up dying in jail after 7+ years. And he ran from his life. So he went to Spain, where he met with the Rashba. And he comes, the second half of his life, he encounters Sephardic community with very different minhagim. So he has lots of tshuvas that they're putting tzitzis on the silk. But he has an idea. This is that the people understand that silk is silk, and they're not going to confuse that. So once that becomes known, that silk is not a problem of shatnez, they understand what this material is made out of, then there's no maris ayin issue whatsoever of using silk as one of your clothing. Okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. The Shulchan quotes this opinion of the Rosh, and therefore, this is going to be our big saving kula. If it's well known, then that's not a problem of Marasayin anymore. If it's well known that 7-Eleven has kosher Slurpees, if it's well known that Dunkin' Donuts had the article, if it's well known, then that's going to be a kula to go into these types of situations. Not the first kula of only things mentioned in Shas, not the second kula of only things that are derisive, but this third one, look at the Shulchan Aruch, and I'm just trying to streamline a little bit. He says, Ein is mishim klayim el tzemer rechelim ayom v'im pishton aval tzemer gemalim v'tzemer arnovim v'notze shel izim v'chol sh'ar minim. Okay, I'm going to skip to this end of the second line. V'chachomim osru. The Chachom said it's osur mipnei maris ayin meshi in tzemer. To have meshi is silk with tzemer, which is wool. The Chazal said you can't do that. Now if you look on the last Y line right after the period, v'haidna. And nowadays... Nowadays, meaning this is Shulchan Aruch time, so this is 1570s. Meshi motzi b'neinu, which it's so common, silk. Everyone knows about it. Va'akom akirmo, everyone recognizes. Oh, this is a silk garment. Lefikach, therefore, since it's recognized, since everyone knows what it is, ein bo mishumar sayin. There's no problem. Umutter im hatzemer im apishtan. You can use silk with this, and there's no problem whatsoever anymore because it's well known. Now we can talk a little bit. Now we have a big realistic cool. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way. If something is well known, no problem of marasayin anymore. Okay, so now we can start to move a little bit. What would that include? So now you don't have to put on you don't have to bring the non-dairy creamers to the thing. I don't know. You tell me. Is it probably well known when you go into a kosher restaurant? They have like pepperoni slices. No giddies. Well, they had. They don't have like a. But I remember in Queens, 20 years ago, they used to have signs on the countertop. This is not real pepperoni.
They may have such a sign also.
Do they?
But it's interesting. The bigger issue is when goyim come in.
They're upset. They want
to make sure to tell them if someone looks like they're not from or not Jewish, then they tell them up front. You should just know it's not real meat or real chicken because the firm person who comes in should realize that it's not real.
Yeah.
But the guy who comes in wants the
wants
the real.
Although as many of them say that they can barely tell the difference.
They can or
cannot. They cannot. Especially once it's. Once you treat it and put it onto the pizza, they say that they really can't, for the most part, can't tell the difference.
Uh-huh.
But I bet you rely on the chicken. Overall, you go in and you see OK or OU or, I mean, doesn't that kind of clear everything up? I mean, you're basically relying on the supervision to say, everything here is OK. I mean, why go any further? I mean, when you go in there, you're assuming that everything is covered.
So I'll tell you. Realistically, mistakes happen.
No,
under the best hashkachas, that's why there is a mashgiach who comes in to make sure it's no one's fault. No one's doing it intentionally. But I can tell you many times when a delivery will come and the vegetables it makes up because the one who's the distributor isn't thinking I'm sending to this there. He's just I'm filling an order, so I need 10 pounds of broccoli. So I forgot the bodek one versus the non-bodek, whatever it is. So it just. It's always good to be checking on. So even if, I thought I was sending him the fake pepperoni. You never know. You always have to have a hashgach on there. But you're asking all the maritz, that should be enough. Now, if you go into you can assume nowadays, if you're going into a pizza shop with a reliable hashgach on it, that when they're serving, that's not the real deal. It's not the real chicken or, I don't even know what they put on. But
Dunkin' Donuts, they have the breakfast sandwiches. They have hash browns and sausage.
Sausage is also
farm
eggs.
Yeah. They have a sausage sandwich, right? Do they have it here?
They have it.
Do they? The synthetic stuff.
Yeah.
Personally, I just can't even eat. They have it at Frisch. They have these like fake bacon things. I just can't even look at it. I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
Doesn't taste so great.
Yeah, I don't know. Faking or what they call it. I don't know what they call it. And that was a shock because I grew up eating bako bits. You know all the things you put in your salad, the bako bits? No one ever pointed that bako is short for bacon. I just like bagels. I like bagel bits on my thing, and so that I have no problem eating. But the strips, I can't. Okay, all right. Here we go. A few tshuvas. Chacham Avadi Yosef Zatzal in number 8. We won't read the whole thing, but let's listen to the question. Ha'im mutar lishtos chalav synthetic chalav ha'osim mitzmachim. It's made from what's tzema from I don't know plants. Yeah, miyad acher arucha basarit after a fleshig meal. Can I have a can I have soy milk after my fleshy meal? Oh, yesh also maybe mishum arasayin. Pen yichshu haroyim. Maybe I'm going to look at me, she'll show you sechal of mamish. They're going to think I'm really drinking milk. Ach, maichli basar. The guy's a shakis. He's having a glass of milk after his chicky sandwich or whatever it is. What are you going to do with such a guy? So, long tshuva. He quotes a lot of the sources that we have. I'm going to skip to the next page where I bolded it. You see in that big paragraph, like, happens, the Rebbe says, Yesh Od, right? So Yesh Od Snif Lahatir. I'll give you, he goes, it's Mutter, he says, I'll give you another reason. First, I'll just say it outside. There's no Isser Doraisa of drinking milk after Fleishig. They weren't cooked together. It's a separate meal, technically. So there's no, it's only talking on Durabonin level. Okay, so he has a lot of clues there. Vayesh Od Snif Lahatir. I'll give you another reason this should be allowed. Al bimasha kos of harosh shema osur chazal itfor big day tzemer opishtin bechutei meshi. Again, the rosh that we saw quoted by Shulchan Aruch as well about using silk mishumaris ayin zehu rak bizmanam. That's only in their time. Shlohayim meshi motzi vechoshu milamaris ayin. That was only when the reality was that they didn't have it so common, they didn't know about it. Avav bizmeinu she big day meshi mitzuyin beinenu vahakom akirim v'yodim behem ein lechush laosur tefiras big day tzemer lechut meshi. There's no problem with using silk threads in your wool coat. V'chein posko hatur v'shulchan Aruch. Okay, quotes. That's what we're saying in Shulchan Aruch. V'chein kan. So to hear, shachal ha samchuni nafutz. Everyone knows that synthetic milk is out there, not a problem. V'yaduah hulakol, it's known to everybody. Ein osa b'mishu marasayin. So there's no problem of marasayin whatsoever. And the sikum at the bottom, mutter lishtos chalas inati achari arucha basarit. You're allowed to have a glass of synthetic milk after soy milk after your fleishig meal. V'chein glida, you could have your ice cream. You could have your parva ice cream. That's very common, right? You have your cake or something. What it is, and put the scooping out the ice cream on it. V'ein lechush, you know, b'shum shum aris ayin. So Heter Gomer says Chacham Avad Yosef. And the last we'll do is going into an actually a non kosher restaurant from Reb Moshe. Okay, it's a long tshuva. I put it on here so you wouldn't think I was making up everything. But maybe we'll on the go to the last page. The last page, and then we'll get to Starbucks. Uvedaver imot lechol. You know what that next word is?
Restaurants.
You see, Ramosha Shuvas, he always spells out phonetically the. Sometimes you're breaking your head and realize, oh, it's restaurants. Okay. Shemachinim sham rak malchei cholov. It's a restaurant that only prepares dairy. Aval heim shel anoshim mechalei Shabbos. The people who are making are not from. Hine afsham. You could have non-kosher food there, like fish oil. The oil that's being fried up in them, that the oil is coming from them. It could be non-kosher cheese. Okay, it's a different rabbinic prohibition of a non-Jew cooking it, even if it's all kosher ingredients. There's many problems. There's a particular youth group, which will go unnamed, but the person who was in charge of this years ago gave them a heter to bring their own food and to have a non-kosher chef fry it up for them. And when they did investigations afterwards, the chef himself came and says, I don't understand why you're allowed to do this. I take the oil from the lamb chop, from the pork chop, and I put your beef mediated. Why is that allowed? Isn't that a problem being non-Jewish? So the non-Jewish chef realized, he's like, how are you guys allowed to do this? They were trying to, you know... But so again, you can't do this. You can't bring your kosher food into a non-kosher restaurant and ask them to cook it up for you and then think everything is to heat it up, right.
That's also not, I mean, but that's why we have the double wrap, that type of thing.
Okay, double wrap's not a problem. Double wrap's not a problem. You know, you think about Meyer Science. So when we were in Disneyland, they had this restaurant on the Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like when you first start off the ride before like all the scary stuff happens, you're just like there's a restaurant there. It's like that's part of the shtick. You're eating on the water, watch everybody go by. So they have, I checked into it, it's like OU that they have, you know, airplane food, they'll serve you on the pep of things, you can do that. So why is that Mara sign? You think everybody on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride realizes that look, must be serving kosher food here because I see these Haredi people and they're sitting here eating the pork chops. No. Teretz is, if it's Yedua, if people know about it, then you're allowed to. That's what we saw. Right. So I think people realize nowadays that there is possible to order kosher food in non-kosher restaurants.
In many places that you wouldn't otherwise imagine.
We were in South Carolina, and there was there's a lot of, obviously, mostly non-kosher. There was a, you know, like a crab house or something like that, owned by a Jewish guy. And the Chabad bring in kosher food in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like roast beef
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little weird, but, you know, obviously it was all double wrapped and yeah. everything. But the guy, I mean, is, maybe he's doing a mitzvah that he's providing kosher, or the Chabad is providing kosher food.
Chabad's doing a mitzvah. The guy who owns the crab is probably not doing a mitzvah.
No, not yet. Is that okay? What we did?
There's an Isser doing business with Michael Sasuros. So this guy has no head to have a non-kosher restaurant.
Jewish guy
cannot have it. I get that shaila frequently. I've gotten the shaila. People want to go into, they have a partner. You cannot do business with Michael with non-kosher food. So for him, no. But the Chabad rabbi, who's a Tzala Porta, he's coming in and providing kosher food for people who need it. So then, okay. But you'll find many, many fine steakhouses, you would think, oh, they won't let outside food, and they really will. If you go to these, like, you know, it's very common business things that you have, like, a team meeting, you finish a project, so they go out to celebrate. So the first thing is you ask, you know, try to get into a La Marais, try to get to a Prime Grill, try to get into a thing. And then if they, you know, your boss is one, you say, well, that place isn't classy enough for me, we have to go to my place, right? You try to spin a little bit to get to go to the kosher. But if you can't, most of these places are very accommodating with getting you, and you understand, they know what it's done. It's not like you're reinventing the wheel. They're familiar with it. Because the reality is that they're firm people in the workforce, and they understand. They're sensitive to this. They're not trying to mess anybody over. They're trying to be as accommodating as possible. And with a little guidance and speaking to the right people, they can basically arrange that the food be brought in a way. Okay, but here's...
Trade in pork bellies, though, right?
The what?
A Jew can trade pork belly futures.
Oh, and stocks and everything? That's a big shy about the stock and McDonald's and stuff like that.
But at what point does it become public knowledge that everybody understands, or you know, the majority of people understand? I mean, that Pirates of the Caribbean ride that you referred to. I mean, the general people, you know, the general clientele there, most of them not Jewish, they just assume that you're eating what they're eating. And for the Jews, okay, so they'll give you the benefit of the doubt. It must be okay, but...
So that's what Moshe's going to talk about that right now. Moshe's going to talk about that. I'm not sure. I don't have a clear-cut answer as to what point it becomes Yadua L'Kol, everybody knows.
It's like the 7-Eleven. I mean, if people go to 7-Eleven, they know the Slurpees are kosher.
But yeah, Ken's asking, what point do you know that? When did it become common knowledge that 7-Eleven has kosher Slurpees?
I walked in there, I see very from people, like the girls, you know, probably from Shari Tzion, having the Slurpees.
Yeah, my sister goes there, I mean, my daughter.
So I'm saying, like. I didn't know. I honestly didn't know.
That's the first point.
But even in the restaurant where they accommodate and they're allowing kosher food to be brought in, and it's not told us. But people still see you sitting in that restaurant.
Correct, yeah, that's what Moshe's going to say.
But that's even more confusing because some of them are kosher and some of them are not kosher.
Yes. So Moshe has this in the tshuva about what do you do? How do you have to be very discreet about going into it? I mean, we can say it for outside, but maybe we'll just try to do it to. The key points he makes, a few points. Number one, you have to be, to go into a non-kosher restaurant, you have to be completely famished. I mean, not that I'm just like hungry. You know, kids use words, I'm starving. I say, time out. You're not starving. You're hungry. A person who's starving hasn't had food for several days. You haven't had food for several hours. You're hungry. You're not starving. So if you're starving, okay, then maybe, and you're like going to get sick, you can't eat again. There has to be no kosher alternatives. It can't be, oh, I'm starving, and there's, you know, McDavid's, and there's McDonald's. So I'm going to go into McDonald's to get, again, we're only on kosher. I want to get a Coke. So I want to go into McDonald's because I want to get a Coke. Go to McDavid's and get the Coke. But he also writes about you have to be discreet. If there's a side entrance or something, it's not. But if people, this one, he's going to talk about this idea. Let me pick it up from where the 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down by the period. Ach, im hu ra'iv b'yoser, you're so hungry, shemitz tar tuva, you're such in such pain, ve'ein sham makom ach l'chol, yochel ikanis l'sham, l'echol devarim hayaduim umutarim. Then there's no other options, and everyone knows it's kosher, you could go in and get a Coke. Avat tzarech shia b'tzina, you have to do it very discreetly. Debe makom tzara, seda, lo goz rabonan, ki de'isa b'ksubas daf sam. Okay. So if you're really in pain, you need to do this, it still has to be done privately. It shouldn't be done, you know, you're walking in full view. There's a in LA, there's a restaurant, I think it's right across the street from either it's Beth Jacob or Young, it's like, it's mama's, like, you know, it's like Lobsters R Us or something like that. It's like they got an aquarium in front. You see like your crab, whatever it is.
You know what you're gonna have for lunch.
Right, or you pick out your lunch. Somehow the frum market never got into it. Like, I'd like to pick out that cow. You know, we never hop the rhyme. Hainu, shalo yeh michutz makirov. There can't be anybody who recognizes you. feed lufnei elu haninsoim b'fnim hare yirei shilokeach rak devarim hayadum mutarim. You have to only take things that everyone knows is fine. V'im yesham mibechutz makirov tzarech lomar lehem. If people outside the restaurant see you going into the most, you have to tell them shemitzar tuva. I'm having an attack right now. I need to eat something. Lechein nichlas hasham lekach davar hayadua umutar. Aval below mitzar tuva. If you're not in tremendous amount of pain, ein lichanes l'sham klal. You shouldn't go there at all. You need a mikuro Moshe Feinstein. Okay, so he says that these heterim, that there's very, very, very limited cases. Other poskim, I saw quoted in a sefer Rabbi Ari Wasserman that he quotes from the Minchas Asher. This is a little bit different. That his question was about eating in a cafeteria. Eating in a cafeteria, your own lunch. So he was basically allowed it because, as we saw from the... not from the pre-Kaddish, but from the Shulchan Aruch as well, that if it's once it's known, people understand you bring your own lunch, so then he was, he allowed it. But Moshe is very strict on this. But there are other heterim that we rely upon, the Minchas Asher. So on the flyer I made, Shalom was laughing at me, I took two graphics. I took McDonald's and I took Starbucks. So there's a chachma why I did this. Why? Everybody looks at McDonald's and thinks, Chazer Treif, there's nothing kosher there. Everyone thinks Starbucks is heter gomer, but it's not. One has to understand Starbucks, coffee's great, but it's a non-kosher restaurant. Right. And people here go, so Rabbi Asher Bush, that was on Shabbos. So Rabbi Asher Bush is in Nevada of Riverdale and in the RCA as well. So he went, researched, prepared a list for what is allowed at Starbucks. This is of September 2012, so it's a few months old. But and you see my handwriting on here when he told me, again, what's fine? The brewed coffee, the cold brew, the espresso, the latte, okay? The flavored teas, you have to check. But look at the bottom box, what should not be used. And he told me what the problem is with each one of them. Steamed apple juice or other steamed juices, the kalim. They use non-kosher kalim to do this. The caramel, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Macchiato.
Whatever it is. Ingredients. Clover brewed coffee is the kalim. The frappuccino, the ingredients. Hot chocolate, the ingredients. The iced coffee. What's wrong with an iced coffee? The kalim that they're using is a problem. Iced tea, he writes, this refers to the fresh iced tea, bottled iced tea, could bear a kosher certification. Okay, that's like a Snapple, it's fine. But the ones that they're making there in the store, that's a problem with the kalim. Latte cappuccino is a problem with kalim. The lemonade is a problem with their ingredients. The steamed milk is the kalim. The smoothie, the ingredients. But people think, oh, you know, the only thing that's really a problem with sandwiches, that I can't have. No, there's a lot of things. One should perceive in their mind, Starbucks is like a McDonald's.
So the coffee is okay?
Black coffee is fine. And even people who are makpid on Chalav Yisrael will do that because they'll just get the soy milk. So they'll get their coffee with their milk. And right. Sugar me'ikar din does not need a hashkacha on it, but it's always better if you have... Yeah, sometimes you're at a coffee, you're at a gas station or something like that, and they'll have two sugars. So they'll have one in the container, they'll have one, they'll have like a... So it's always better to take the one that has the hashkacha. But maker din, one does not need to have a hashkacha on sugar. But people need to know this. I wanted to put those two graphics so visually a person associates. Starbucks is McDonald's. Doesn't mean there's things... Now again, it's much easier to go to a Starbucks than to walk into a McDonald's. I'm not... I don't see. That's what I think. I think McDonald's certainly has a Mara sign because you know 99% of the things there are not kosher. But Starbucks, yeah, you would. We'd be down the cops of course. Yeah, I think so.
Could you have a coffee in McDonald's?
Technically, yeah, but it's better not to. If you can go to a gas station, any non-flavored coffee is kosher. So why walk into a McDonald's when you can go two blocks later and you'll get a gas station, Wawa or whatever, right. These places, they'll have a kosher, and therefore you remove any of that. Nobody thinks twice. You walk into a Wawa, you come out of the coffee, no one thinks you walk into McDonald's, people...
Some of these places have open containers of like sugar or creamer, you know, powdered creamer.
Yeah.
Should one use that or should one make an assumption that it's a...
Sugar would be fine, creamer should not be. Creamer needs a hashkacha. So an open sugar container, technically speaking, it's better not to, but you could use the sugar because it doesn't need a hashkacha. The open creamer should not be used.
Even if it has a hashkacha?
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't know what those kalim have been in. You don't know if it's washed. Because they have non-kosher
like
food there.
Box. Like just a box with an open
like
box.
7-Eleven,
oh, you mean the I know you know plastic ones?
Yeah.
Oh, those are fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those have hashkacha. You look at oh, you.
Open them. We have international delight. Like we have the creamer here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, those are fine. Yeah.
Hashkacha on it.
Yeah, as long as there's hashkacha on it. So just because oh, I thought you meant like a canister, which just says creamer on the side. You don't know what it is.
Should we have any concern that someone did something to it if it's open?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. They're gonna. They're gonna.
Someone came and poured it in.
Nah. So,
the concept of Morris Ion that we've been speaking about, I'm certainly someone who's wearing a kippah and, you know, is obviously a Jewish guy going into this restaurant, he's going to get a lot more, you know, scrutiny than somebody, you know, I go in, I'm wearing my baseball cap and, you know, I'm wearing work clothes. I mean, they wouldn't really know necessarily that I'm Jewish, you know. Does that play into this?
I think so. You don't have to take your yarmulke off, but if you could put a cap on or something like that, it's not so conspicuous.
I mean, Rav Moshe says, in terms of Mitzina, right, that it's better to try and be more discreet about it.
That's a way of being discreet.
Yeah, but I mean, let's just be frank. When you see like a Yid with a beard and payas, he's wearing like a Yankees cap. Yeah. You know, who are you fooling?
Exactly. But actually, you got to be the glasses with the fig nose. La Marais
was a non-kosher restaurant. You know the history, and a lot of the Jewish guys would go in there and eat a salad or something, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And that's the story. And just saw a very large market for kosher.
Yeah.
Kosher. And